Can you black screen that? I can't make it do anything. Hey, we're thankful that you're with us today. If you're a guest, we're honored to be that you're with us, to have you with us, and we want to invite you to come back. This is a special time. I'm just going to tell you, I've dealt with the world all week. I've dealt with worldly people all week, and I feel the same way almost every Lord's Day. I am so glad to be with my family. I am so glad to be with my family. I love those others. I love them. But you're my family. You're my family. And I am so thankful for the Lord's Day when it rolls around. I'm thankful for Sunday mornings. I'm thankful for Sunday evenings. And I'm thankful for Wednesday evening. I don't know how you guys that don't attend all three of those, I don't know how you make it. I really don't, because I look out through the week and I see if I can't find me another assembly of my family to attend, if there's any way at all. Like this week, on Tuesday night of this week, I'm going to go to a fellowship supper. If you'd like to ride with me, you need to say something to me. You're invited. If you'd like to go, you need to say something to me so that I can be sure that they have plenty of food. Because you know I'm always going to put you in the front of the line, right? I'm always going to put you ahead of me. So who's going to end up with nothing if you don't tell me? Me. And I'm selfish. So we'd kind of like to know if you're going, okay? But you're welcome to ride with me. But I don't miss those things. If I can help it, I don't miss them. Because I deal with the world all week long. All week long. I'm glad to be with my family. So I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful that I'm able to be here with you. I just think about things, and I think differently than anybody else. I know I do. I know I do. But have you ever thought about how it was in the first century with our brothers and sisters in Christ? They probably weren't rode up in pews like we are. They more than likely were meeting in a house someplace, or if they weren't meeting in a house, they were meeting in some large room. Someone found a room large enough for them to all get together, and they probably sat around on stools or chairs or benches or just whatever they could do. Have you ever been invited to someone's house for maybe a devotional or a little Bible study or just to get together? How is it when you first get there? Everyone just sit around and kind of, when we going to get started? Is that kind of the way you do? Or do you visit? I don't know. Most of the time you visit, don't you? I think about how it would have been with our brothers and sisters in Christ all those years ago. Man, they were a family. They were a family. When they got together, they visited with one another. They spent time with one another. You know, that would solve a lot of the questions that we have that come up in our Bible studies and stuff like that. Because we try to study those things from 21st century eyes. Why do they have to worry about the women in the services? Why did it have to be something that Paul had to address with the church at Corinth? Because the church at Corinth wasn't sitting in a church building all rode up. The church at Corinth was in a house. And what do people do? You're much more relaxed, right? You're much more relaxed. They were relaxed. And you can just take that right on down the road. Sometimes I laugh at us. I laugh at us as we start questioning those kind of things. Well, what about this? What about that? What about that? You know what? They would have understood that perfectly in the first century. It's only because we, years later, have come to this that we wonder about those things and why that's even really a major issue in a lot of areas. So what I want you to just be informal with me for a little bit, okay? Because some things are that we need to be aware of as a family, are taking place among us. And I'm going to be real informal with you. I'm going to tell you a couple of things, and then I'm going to ask you, and I want you to share with us, okay, to share with me. One of those things is Sheila Riddle. Sheila informed me this morning that she has a compression fracture but in her back, but that's okay. I got the super glue. Right. But she's going to have that taken care of, and she's going to have her gallbladder removed, but Randy and I got a plan on that. Not really. Has this been scheduled? Any of this been scheduled, Sheila? Not yet. But remember, Sheila, in your prayer, she's not in the upper part of the bulletin. I think she's in the extended sick list or something like that. But remember, Sheila, in your prayers. Mary's husband, Ronnie, is going to have an arteriogram. I think this is Tuesday. He has to be at St. Vincent's in Little Rock at 8 o'clock for an arteriogram at 8 o'clock. I got that pretty well close to right. Remember, Ronnie, in your prayers. He is an important person to that family, I'm going to predict, right? He is an important person to that family, and he's important to us. So please, please remember Ronnie in your prayers. Hey, Clint Slicer. Where are you, Clint? They had to leave. Clint is going to be presenting his lesson to you this evening. This evening. I'm so proud of those, the young men of this congregation. Had you have been in the class Wednesday evening with all of us, you would have bust the buttons off your shirt. I am so proud of those young men and the progress that they are making. And they want to now, it seems. They want to do these things. And Clint is tonight. And we're family. We support family, right? We support one another. So you're going to want to be here to encourage Clint as he presents his lesson. Do you think he's a little nervous? Do you think he's a little bit anxious? Sure he is. Sure he is. So we've all got to, hey, encourage him and be there for him. Hey, we're proud of you. We're proud of you. There is a hurricane taking place, isn't there? Isn't there? Are y'all aware of that? Katrina's grandparents are in the path of that. Now, they live in Georgia, right? But it's still going to be a strong storm when it comes through their area. And they are elderly, and it's impossible for them to get out of the way of that. Their son is with them, I believe is what you told them. Their son is with them, but we need to pray for them as they go through some things. Dennis Martin told me, hey, you might have to keep me awake because I've been up all night watching the weather. At first, I didn't know where he was going. Then I remembered, oh, yeah, you have a daughter who lives in Sarasota, right? In Sarasota. I think they're out of harm's way, right? But you know what? You got to go back, right? You got to go back, and you don't know what you're going back to. You know, you don't know whether your house is going to be there or your home is going to be there or anything. Linda Harris, who is a good friend of mine, a sister in Christ, who once, you know, several years ago, lived in the Springfield, Arkansas area, always made sure that her granddaughters attended summer camp with us back then at Cottle. And she has a daughter who lives in Florida, so she's moved to North Miami, just north of Miami, Florida, in a retirement village. And she called me this week and said, hey, David, you know, we're evacuating. There's me, my sister, and a neighbor, the three of us, and we're coming to Arkansas to be closer to my granddaughters and things. But, you know, could you help us secure a hotel room? I said, I'll do what I can. Do you know that by Wednesday of this week, that all the hotel rooms in Conway, Arkansas, in Cabot, Arkansas, in BB, and in Searcy, those are the places I checked. All of those were already booked. That's by Wednesday. There are a lot of people who have come our way. You know, now that doesn't mean that all of those that booked hotel rooms necessarily, because, you know, things change, but We were unable to secure a hotel room for her. So when she called me back, I said, you know, I haven't been able to secure anything. I'm sorry, but I'll keep trying. She said, that's okay. I can stay with my granddaughters, but there are three of us, and we just don't want to, you know, we don't want to be a burden to them. So, you know, Linda Harris. Now, here's what, is there anyone else that has loved ones in the hurricane path that you know of? Don't be, let's have it now, because we want to pray for them. And we want to keep up with them. Anyone?
Becky has a niece.
Who? Becky has a niece. Okay, what's her name? Huh?
In Tampa.
In Tampa? Ooh. That's the side of it now, isn't it? Hmm?
Jesse.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah. I'm aware of those. Okay, we need to remember Becky's niece. And have they evacuated, or are they trying to? Going to try and ride it out. Gonna try and write it out. Anyone else?
Chad's mother-in-law and her
and Oh, Chad and his family?
Well, it's his mother-in-law.
Oh, it's his mother-in-law. They live in Florida, don't they? They live in Florida. Is Chad and them, are they gonna be affected much? Okay. All right. But yeah, Chad Hunter's mother-in-law and them. They live in
Kings Bay,
Georgia. Yeah. Yeah, that's gonna be in that path, isn't it? Gonna be in that path. I don't know, I just read a little bit earlier in the week. I read somewhere that it's anticipated that 1.5 million people to 2 million people will evacuate. Either, I think there's about 12, I think it was 120,000 in shelters, but you might as well say evacuated. They evacuated to a shelter. But then 1.5 million to 2 million who'll get in cars and automobiles. Did y'all see the traffic lines and those kind of things? Getting cars and stuff and try to evacuate the state. Can you imagine 1.5 million people all trying to hit the road in one direction at the same time and all wanting gas? We saw a little bit of that, right? Saw a little bit of that. Anyone else? How about in the Houston area? Anyone? I think Dennis, too, has a sister who lives in Houston. Didn't get in her house, right? Didn't get in her house, but at the end of their driveway, a 6'6" son of hers is standing in chest high water at the end of the driveway. And that's the situation with a lot of the folks down there, is that it didn't necessarily get in their houses, but you can't get into those neighborhoods and you can't get out of those neighborhoods except by some kind of watercraft. You know, it's receded in a lot of places, but it's still there, too, in a lot of places. And water got in a lot of homes, right? And a lot of our brothers and sisters in Christ, a lot of our family, they're affected by this. And so we're taking up a collection, and it'll be distributed. We're up to about $4,000. So if you can give a little bit, every little bit helps somewhere. And help somebody, you know. It'd be good if some of us could go there and help out. But sometimes that's just not a feasible thing. But we can help them in some way. So, help us. Some of us bought a truckload of water and shipped that direction this week. So, you know, there are things you can do. There are things you can do. Anyone? Okay. Yeah. So this is Katrina's father. We need to remember him as well. Okay. Anything? Anyone else?
Remember Marilyn Ray?
Yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. This was Herschel and W.C. R. Rendell. Y'all, some of us old ones will remember. Herschel served as an elder here years and years and years ago. Their daughter, in fact, their only child, right? That's a W.C. Who did I say? Herschel. Oh, this is W.C., excuse me. W.C.'s daughter, Marilyn, and her family live in the Houston area. She was a, Marilyn and I, we keep up with one another, and she was texting me. She said at one point, 35 inches of rain and the the water gauge, the rain gauge fell over. So we're not sure. 35 inches of rain in her yard, and the water, the rain gauge had fallen over once, so they weren't sure exactly how much. That's a whole bunch of water, isn't it? That's a whole lot of water. But remember Marilyn and them in your prayers. Anyone else? Yeah. We've all got them, don't we? So these are friends of Debbie and Harold's. We've all got them. And I mean, you know, we need to be alert to opportunities. I mentioned to you about the hotels being filled in our area. Listen, as you're out and about, remember, you're probably coming in contact with some of those people. You probably are. You know, you may not realize it, you may not recognize it, but hey, they're going to buy groceries, they're going to, you know, be in your Walmarts and then at your service stations and things like that. And listen, if you can't do anything else but give them a little encouragement, hey, they need it. They need it right now. Anyone else? I'm going to ask Thomas, if you would, to lead us in prayer for this. We'll have a short Bible study and we'll get started.
Our Lord and our Father, we are so blessed. We're so blessed to be enjoying a beautiful day and beautiful blue skies. We're so thankful, Father, for all the physical blessings of this life that you give to us. And we ask today for those that are in harm's way and those that are enduring the issues with the weather that we've had over the past few weeks and those in the weeks to come. We ask your blessing and pray your safety on Dennis Martin's family, on Becky's family, on Katrina's family, on Chad's family, on the Arendelle family, on Marilyn Ray and her husband and her family. We pray for all of those that they'd be safe and they'd be warm and they'd be dry. We pray that their homes and their possessions would be safe, but we pray even more, Father, for their souls and for the example that they might be for others, for there be Christians, Father, that they can serve as well. For those that have plans to go and to help, we ask for their safe traveling and for their needs to be supplied. We ask, Father, that you bless the efforts of the disaster response team as they try to share food and clothing and a dry place to live. For those in the military that have been called up, the National Guard soldiers that are traveling and that are there and are enduring difficulty, that they might serve and help others, keep them safe, Father. For those of us that are sick and afflicted and that are having treatments, we pray for, Father. We pray especially for our sister Sheila. We ask that you bless the doctors that will serve her and help her. And we pray for Randy as he cares for her. So be with Sheila. We're so thankful for her and for her family. Father, we pray for the House family. We pray that Ronnie would be treated well as he goes through this test, and that treatment would be good for him. Father, we pray for all of those that we know and we love and that are sick and hurting, friends and family and loved ones. We pray your blessing upon them, Father. You know our hearts, you know our thoughts, and we ask for your Spirit to help us to word those things that would be pleasing in your sight. And above all, Father, when we ask for things and when we ask for blessings upon others, may we never fail to worship you. Because we know, Father, we ask you because you're almighty and you're all-powerful, you're all-loving. We ask you, Father, and we ask that you guide us and help us to pray for those things that are within the bounds of your will. Protect us, guide us, Father. Keep us safe in your care, we pray. For the leaders that are serving us, for those, the governors of the various states that are going to be involved in the cities, and our president and his advisors, those that work with FEMA and with the Red Cross and others that help others, grant them the wisdom that they need, that they might look to you and obey your will and obey your commands. Thank you, Father, for all our blessings. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.
My heart really goes out to those people who, like Katrina's grandparents, who just can't. Did any of you see the pictures of, I think it was in the Houston situation, of a nursing home facility where the people were sitting chest deep, you know? And I think to myself, you know, if those people were 30 years younger, they wouldn't be sitting in chest deep water. They're only sitting in chest deep water because they can't do anything else. And they, you know, that comes with age. My heart goes out to those people who just can't. They just can't. And there are many who just can't. They can't do anything else. They can't get in a vehicle and go. They can't escape. But I've also thought, how long have they been talking about this hurricane that's coming? I know I heard about it 2 weeks ago, that it's building in the Atlantic, and, you know, we don't know where it's going yet, but, hey, you need to be making preparations. Are y'all aware of that? Are y'all aware of that? Yeah, me too. They also told us that it was a pretty severe hurricane, didn't they? One of the strongest ever. I mean, you know, you hear all kinds of things. Well, this is going to come ashore as a 4 or 5, and I'm telling you, look at the chart. It doesn't matter whether it's a 4 or a 5. You can't tell the difference. It's both catastrophic damage, isn't it? I mean, okay, well, at least it's not a 5. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It's catastrophic damage if it's a 4. Okay, it just happens to be in that 5th category. Just take a look at it. Take a look at it. And this was coming across. And people know this. And people know this. And they receive warning after warning. Hey, I saw this picture. I thought, this is so typical. Mandatory hurricane evacuation. And you see all these people leaving, but then there's one vehicle going in the other direction. There's always someone going in the other direction. Isn't there? Always. I think it was Friday, that the governor of Florida, Rick Scott, had a lengthy news conference. And as I read it, I counted at least 9 times he made this statement: "You will not survive. Get out now." He pleaded with people to get out. And yet, did everyone get out? Did everyone leave? No. Bless their hearts, some of them couldn't, right? Some of them couldn't. Some of them could. They chose not to for a number of reasons. Why did some choose to stay? Well, I just started reading and listening to interviews and things like that. Here's some things I heard. One man said, well, they've been saying it's coming for so long and it hadn't got here yet. And they have. It's been a couple of weeks, hasn't it? And, you know, it's been so long and it hadn't happened yet. You know, so I'm just not going to pay any attention to that anymore. I get tired of hearing it. That's all they've talked about for 2 weeks. I get tired of hearing it. I'm not going to listen to that anymore. And so he stays. One said, I was told to evacuate 12 years ago. That was a hurricane something else. I was told to evacuate 12 years ago. I did, and that storm went to the west. I should have just stayed then, so I'm staying now. In other words, I was warned sometime before. Someone told me it was coming, and it didn't come. And so, because it didn't come then, I'm not going to heed the warning now. That's essentially what that amounts to. One man said, you see those guys? Oh, by the way, he was talking about news crews. He said, you see those guys? They're staying. So am I. Hey, even the people who are trying to warn sometimes, get pointed at, don't they? I didn't watch much this morning, but did anyone see any newscaster stand out there getting blown around or signs blowing past them or things like that? And you say to yourself, well, why do they stay out there? Well, understand, there's going to be somebody, this guy, who's going to say, hey, if they can survive, I can survive. So even the people that are warning sometime become a hindrance to some extent to those who are being warned. There was another one who said, there is so much fake news. I mean, this was a man. There is so much fake news, I don't know what to believe. Is there fake news? Yeah, be real careful. Be real careful what you repeat, right? Well, I saw that on Facebook. Oh, that makes it true. Doesn't it? I heard that at Sawbucks. Well, that really makes it true. You know, that really makes it true. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, if I'm going to Sawbucks, I'm going to be the last one to leave the room because I see how it works. Every time one of them leaves, they start talking about him. So I'm going to be the last one to leave the room. Be careful what you hear, right? Well, just because you heard it there. There's so many people. There's so much fake news. There's so much fake news that, hey, they're probably faking this. It's just get people stirred up. There was literally a man who said, there's so much fake news. You know we didn't really go to the moon back in the 60s, don't you? They just made that up. Well, they're just making this up, too. They're just making it up, too. And he felt that way. And so I don't know what to believe, so I'm just not going to believe anything. I'm staying where I'm at. Another one said, I'll be the one to survive. In other words, Thomas may get blown away, drowned, or whatever, but it won't be me. It's never going to be me. There was one more. I just read this morning. I've been working on this several days, and I read about a guy this morning who is he runs a some kind of a business in Miami, and his business is 1 foot above sea level. I mean, the boats are right there. There's nothing but a street between him and the ocean. And his building is 1 foot above sea level, and he's being told now that the surge could be as much as 15 feet where he's at. But he says, this has got a concrete roof, it's got concrete walls, I'm going to close up the doors and I'll be fine. It said, this ain't going nowhere. And whoever was interviewing him said to him, yeah, but what about the water? That's true, isn't it? What about the water? Well, I've got all this other protection. That's going to take care of me. But what about this? And he hadn't even thought about that. That didn't occur to me. He's worried about the wind when he might have been needing to worry about the wind and the water. You see what I'm saying? And this is just the way people think. It's the way people think. That led me to think, how about us? We receive warnings, right? Jesus is coming back. And what kind of response do we get to that? Well, they've been saying he's coming back for years. I don't know. I'm 63 years old. I'm telling you, folks, for as long as I can remember, preachers have been telling me Jesus is coming back. And he hadn't come back yet. Do you think that has an impact on anyone? There are some people who will say, hey, they've been saying that for years. All my life, and he hadn't come back yet. Why should I believe he's coming back? There are others who say, other things have happened, and people have made other predictions and those kind of things, and they didn't occur. Why should I believe this is going to occur? This is going to happen. You know, Peter dealt with that. He dealt with that. I want you to begin with me in 2 Peter chapter 3. And we just read for a little ways, and it's ours to take home. But, you know, why don't people listen? Why don't people escape? Why don't they? Peter gives some reasons. Peter says, this second epistle, this second letter, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance. So he's just trying to remind them of things. To remind them. That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before. So is he going to tell them something they've never heard before? No, he's telling of things they've heard before. They heard it by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Now, this is the first thing he says I want to remind you of. This is of primary importance. Verse number 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust. They're out for their own well-being. They're scoffers. They make fun of. They talk down about things. They scoff at it. But they're just walking after their own lust. They're making themselves look better. It's about them. Here's what they're saying, verse number 4. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, since all of our ancestors have gone the way of all men, since the fathers have fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's not true. Peter's going to say, going to point out to them, that right there is not true. It hasn't continued the same since it was in the creation. There's a whole nother world since then. He's going to point that out to them. But that's what they're going to say. For this, he says, verse 5, speaking to those scoffers, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Your translation may read deliberately. They deliberately. It's a decision they make. They are willfully ignorant. They're deliberately ignorant of this. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water. They forget. God made the heavens and the earth. Right? He made that. He made all of that. Whereby the world that then was, that world, being overflowed with water, perished. So what those scoffers just said, you know, is not true. You know it's not. There was a flood, right? And it was destroyed. It perished. So you know that's not true. Why would you listen to those scoffers? That's what he's saying. Why would you listen to those scoffers? But the heavens and the earth which are now. There's new heavens and a new earth now. But the new heavens and new earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. Now this one that exists since the flood, it stands ready for destruction. Look at the first word in verse 8. This is King James, but it appears in almost all of them. But, in contrast to what he just said, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Now, those scoffers, they were deliberately ignorant, right? They were deliberately ignorant. Don't you be ignorant. But beloved, be not ignorant of one thing, of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Okay. They've been saying he's coming back for years. They've been saying he's coming back all my life. He hasn't come back yet. Does that change anything? You're counting years by your time. How does God count time? God's timeless. He's timeless. You know, 2,000 years since the cross. You know, it's been like one day. 2 days, right? One day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years one day. It's been like 2 days to God if you want to, you know, you want to think about it like that. Verse 9. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. The Lord has never broken one of his promises. Did the holy prophets, God through his holy prophets, say there's coming? The Lord is coming in judgment? Yeah. Did he say it through his apostles? Yes. And time doesn't change that. God keeps his word. God keeps his promise. The Lord's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. As these scoffers would say, hey, look at the time that's passed. It hadn't happened yet. It's never going to happen. But God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all of us should come to repentance. He'll bring that up again. He says, verse 10 starts again with the word but. But the day of the Lord will come. It will come. It'll come as a thief in the night. Do you know when the thief's coming? Does the thief call you and say, hey, I'm going to come over for a while? No, he wants that surprise, that element of surprise, right? The day of the Lord will come. Now, it'll come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things will be dissolved, you ought to be thinking about what kind of person you ought to be. That ought to be what's on your mind. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall be dissolved with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Verse 14. Since this is true, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, look for what things? Look for the things that he's just talked about. Look for the coming of the Lord. Looking for and hastening, verse 12. Looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord. Looking, verse 13, for the new heavens and the new earth. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, that you may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless. Since the Lord's going to return, and you don't know when, and I don't know when. We receive the warnings. We receive the news. He's coming. We receive the promise. To us as Christians, it's not a scare tactic. It's a promise. He's coming back. It's our promise. Well, since we've been promised that, then really how ought we be spending our time? Fussing and fighting? Or in peace? Without spot and blameless. Verse 15, I told you he would bring this idea of God being long-suffering up again. Verse 15, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord, account, think about it. The reason that the Lord has not returned yet is what? Account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. Why hasn't he returned? Because he's not willing that any should perish and that all should come to repentance. And so he gives us that opportunity. And he goes on to talk about Paul and his writings and those kind of things. I want to point out one more verse to you. Verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before. You know these things. Seeing that you know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your steadfastness. I guess Brother Roy's song is really fitting this morning, isn't it? The Lord's coming back, and I shall not be moved. I won't be. I'm not going to fall from my steadfastness, okay? Not going to do it. Thomas has selected an invitation song for us. We're going to use that to give you the opportunity, if you're not a Christian, to become one this morning. Nothing would please God more. He's been waiting on you. He's been waiting for you. Nothing would please him more. Well, the angels in heaven would rejoice over that. If you're not a Christian, become one today in just the way the Bible says. Maybe you're here, you're our brothers and sisters in Christ, but you've fallen from your steadfastness. Return. Return. Come home. Come home. I've been thinking about that. 100 sheep in the fold. One gets lost. Lord leaves shepherd leaves the 99, goes out. How did the 99 in the fold feel about that? Well, I can't believe you'd leave us and go look for the one, that one that was lost. Well, they should have kept up. Do you think they acted like that? Yeah, older brother did. An older brother that was at home in just two parables later, he acted like that. And he's condemned. Hey, we as your brothers and sisters in Christ, we'd welcome you back. You know your father would. You come home. If we can help you in any way, let us know. As together we stand and sing.